It was great to see everyone this morning on day before Memorial Day. So what do you think of whenever you think of Memorial Day? The beginning of summer vacation, it's kind of the unofficial start of summer. Barbecues in the backyard, family get-togethers. Again, in most churches, Memorial Day is ignored because it's not one of the holy days that people represent on the calendar. But I think it's good for us to consider what Memorial Day really represents, for its very name calls us to remember. You know, the ability to remember is a wonderful gift God has given us. In a flash, we can be a child again, skipping rocks across a pond or walking in a meadow. Through memory, we can fall in love, get married, and enjoy our children all over again. All of this is possible because of the blessing of our memory. Now, some of our memories are happy as we recall these wonderful experiences. Some are sad. You know, some others may make us weep at times. Memories are also very practical. If we couldn't remember that a red light means stop, we'd be in a whole world of trouble. If you weren't able to remember what day it is, or your anniversary, or your wife's birthday, you'd be in trouble. So memories are very practical for us today. Of course, sometimes memory does fail us. Maybe you heard about a guy named John who had a serious memory problem. One day, John ran into a friend he hadn't seen for a long time and greeted him and said, "Bill, do you remember what a bad memory I had?" Well, Bill answered, "Yes, I certainly do." "Well, it's not bad anymore. I went to a seminar that taught us how to remember things. It was great, and now I have a wonderful memory." Bill answered, "That's great. What was the name of the seminar?" Well, John said, "Wait a minute. My wife went with me. I'll ask her." He turned and saw his wife nearby. Then he turned back to Bill. He said, "What's the name of that flower with the long stem and thorns and a red bloom?" And Bill says, "You mean a rose?" "Yeah, thanks," John said. So he ran over and said, "Hey, Rose, what's the name of that seminar we attended?" You know, there are some events we should never forget in our lives, and I know we remember those. And Memorial Day kind of commemorates some of those. This special day started near the end of the Civil War, and within a few years of practice of placing flowers on military graves had spread through both the North and South and was being called by most everyone Decoration Day at that time. Then after World War I, it became a national holiday dedicated to remember those who made the sacrifice for the freedoms that we enjoy today. You know, someone once said, "Freedom is not free, and it comes at a great price." And it's also a day when we remember our loved ones who have gone on before. But people tend to be forgetful, and we sometimes need to kind of jog our memories. In the Bible, we find that God has given us many such reminders. After God destroyed the earth in a flood, he told Noah, "I establish my covenant with you." And that's in Genesis 9:11. "Never again will all life be cut off by the water of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth." And of course, in Genesis 9:13, he says, "I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth." So every time we see a rainbow, it serves as a reminder of God's promise. Now the world looks at that and says, "Well, that's the refraction of light and all the different frequencies of light, and that's how a rainbow comes." We look and we see God's promise. Another memorial was erected when Joshua led the people of Israel across the Jordan River. Remember, the water stopped flowing just as the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant stepped into the water at the river's edge. Then they stood in the middle of the river until the people had crossed safely into the Promised Land. While they were crossing, Joshua told 12 men, one from each of the 12 tribes, "Go into the middle of the riverbed and select 12 large stones." They brought those stones up onto the riverbank and made a monument out of them. In Joshua chapter 4, verses 6 through 7, Joshua told them, "In the future, when your children ask you, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever." So there are special days and times in the Bible designed to help them and us remember specific events. And three of them this morning we'll look at. And we know the story behind all of them. But listen again and see how God uses them to jog our memories and help us to remember important things. You know, the first one is the Feast of Passover. The first one, you know the history behind it, that the people of Israel been sojourners and they were slaves in Egypt for 400 years. Then God called Moses, and Moses said, I want you to go back to Egypt and say to Pharaoh, let my people go. Now Moses did as God commanded, but Pharaoh refused to listen. So to reinforce his demand, God sent plague after plague upon Egypt. And every time when the plague was at its worst, Pharaoh would say, stop the plague and I'll let the people go. But after every plague, Pharaoh would renege on his promise and continue the slavery. Finally, Moses tells the Egyptian officials, this is what the Lord said. This is in Exodus chapter 11, verses 4 through 6. About midnight, I will go throughout Egypt. Every firstborn son in Egypt will die. There will be a loud wailing throughout Egypt, worse than there had ever been before. Then God gave instructions to the Israelites. Each family is to choose a year-old lamb, one without spot or blemish, the best in the flock. You know, one of the things we have forgotten today is that we're supposed to offer our best to God. Instead, we tend to keep the best for ourselves and God gets the leftovers. But the Bible principle has always been the same. God deserves the best. And if we love Him, then we'll give Him our best. It's like the food pantry. People are eager to give the can of food that has no label on it or that's badly dented. But, you know, they're not as eager to sometimes to give the nice shiny can with the label on it that they know what's in it. God told him in Exodus chapter 12, verse 22, kill that lamb and drain its blood into a basin. Then roast the lamb. But before you eat, take a bunch of hyssop, dip it into the blood in the basin, and put some of the blood on the top on both sides of the door frame. So in other words, there was going to be a mark above that post. And on that same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn, both men and animals, and I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. In Exodus 12, verse 12 and 13, the blood will be a sign to you on your house when you are, and I will see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. So someone in every Jewish home took that hyssop, you know, that branch, dipped it in the blood and put it on the door frame. And that night, just as God had told them, He brought judgment upon Egypt, and there was weeping and wailing in the homes of the Egyptians. But wherever God saw the blood of the lamb, their homes were spared. The next morning in Exodus chapter 12, verse 33 tells us, the Egyptians urged the people to hurry and leave the country. After 400 years, they were ready to let them go. Exodus chapter 12, verse 14, God said, this is a day you're to commemorate for the generations to come. You shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord, a lasting ordinance. Over 3,500 years have passed since that day, and every year the faithful Jews still celebrate and remember Passover. And it's important that we don't forget either how the blood of the unstained, the unblemished, saves us. The day of worship. Now the second memorial to mention today is the day of worship. It all started in the beginning when God created the heavens and the earth. God worked 6 days in creation, and on the seventh day He rested. The Bible tells us that God consecrated that day and called it the Sabbath, a day of rest. In the Ten Commandments, God told the Jews that they were supposed to remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. So it became a day of worship and rest for them. Centuries passed, and you know, the Jews, they began to twist and distort the Sabbath day that God had set for rest and worship. In fact, it became so bad that Jesus cried out to the Pharaohs in Mark chapter 2, verse 27, the Sabbath is made for man, not man for the Sabbath. It was made for their rest and their comfort. When Jesus was crucified and buried and then raised from the dead, He was raised on the first day of the week. Then the day of Pentecost came, another first day of the week. The Holy Spirit came upon the apostles, and the church began as 3,000 responded, the first time that ever the gospel had been preached to them. Soon the early Christians were meeting regularly upon the first day of the week to worship God and encourage one another. In the book of Revelation, the apostle John spoke of the day of worship as the Lord's Day. And so it is those of us who gather to worship Him today. to remember Him. I pray that we always remember and recognize that whenever we come together, we have come to meet with a holy and righteous God, to remember what He's done for us, and to rededicate ourselves to Him. And then lastly, is a meal of remembrance. It was the night before His crucifixion that Jesus met with His disciples in the upper room, and they celebrated Passover together. It was to be an evening of remembering, as God had long ago commanded, but as they ate, Jesus gave them something new, something greater to remember, for Jesus took bread, and when He was given thanks, He broke it and said, "This is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 24 and 25, "In the same way after supper He took the cup, saying, 'This cup is a new covenant in My blood. Do this in remembrance of Me.'" Have you ever wondered what Jesus was talking about when He said, "This cup is the new covenant in My blood"? Do you know why He said it? It was because Jesus was the fulfillment of a prophecy God had made centuries before through the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah 31 through 34. He said, "The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant. I will put My law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be My people. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more." Now, in the Jewish days, those sins just got rolled back, and every year they sacrificed. And those sins never actually went away. But in Jeremiah chapter 31, God said He's not going to remember it anymore. There's coming a day with this new covenant. No longer were some of the ingredients of the Passover meal simply to be a reminder of their release from Egyptian bondage. Now the bread and the cup was to be an eternal reminder of Jesus, of His sacrifice, of His love for us. That's why Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of Me." 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26. And Paul wrote about this. He added to it and said, "Whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes." We proclaim that our Lord and Savior died for us. And we remember that. And hopefully just not on the Lord's Day, not when we come in a corporate worship together, but each and every day that we wake up, when we open our eyes, we think of the great blessings that we have in God. The blessing of Christ first and foremost of all, because that's what saves us from our sins. That's what saves us from ourselves. We'll never be perfect, but just like that Passover lamb, that blood is what God sees when He looks into the book of life and sees, you know, what we did with our life. He'll see that we followed Christ. So when you and I partake, we proclaim into the world, "I believe in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus." I may not be able to speak eloquently, but I can proclaim my faith through this emblem. So partake in remembrance of Him. And know that we survive as people here and will survive eternally because we take on the fruit of the vine, and we take on the bread, which represents His body, His blood and His body, which was sacrificed for us. When Paul writes about the Lord's Supper, he says, "It's not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks, a participation in the blood of Christ, and it's not the bread that we break in participation in the blood of Christ. Because there's one loaf. We who are many are one body, and we all partake of the one loaf." 1 Corinthians 10, 15 through 16. We're all one. We're all united in Christ. We're all part of His family. So there should be unity here. We've all traveled, you know, that same dusty, dirty road sometimes. We've sinned and we're not worthy to be here. But we do not partake because we are worthy. We partake because God is holy. And God invites us to come into His presence and to be a part of His supper and to share it with each other, the fellowship together. We have much to remember. Whatever you do, don't forget how we got here. Don't forget the price that's been and is being paid so that we can live in freedom and enjoy the blessings that God has given us. Don't ever forget about all those soldiers who aren't home, for all those soldiers who are missing body parts, for all those soldiers that are suffering mentally, for all, you know, those that, you know, gave it all in the battle and all the future ones. And also, you know, our first responders who you know, rush into burning buildings, who attend to those emergencies, who try to protect the public and everything. You know, these are all people who, you know, separate us from the barbarity that exists a lot in the world. A few years ago, a young and successful executive named Josh was traveling down Chicago neighborhood street, and he was going a bit too fast. And his sleek, shiny 12-cylinder Jaguar, and it was only a couple of months old. He was watching carefully for kids starting out between the parked cars and slowed down when he thought he saw something. And as his car passed that spot, no child darted out, but a brick flew out and it smashed into that shiny car's door. He slammed the brakes and his gear went in reverse, tire spinning. He backed up to the spot where the brick had been thrown, and he jumped out the car and grabbed the kid and pushed him up against a parked car. He shouted, "Who are you? What are you doing?" You know, building up a head of steam in his anger. And he went on, "That's my new Jack. And the brick you threw is going to cost you a lot of money. Why did you throw it?" Kid says, "Please, mister, please, I'm sorry. I didn't know what else to do. I threw the brick because no one would stop." Tears were dripping down the boy's chin as he pointed to another parked car. "It's my brother, mister," he said. "He rolled off the curb and fell out of his wheelchair, and I can't lift him up." So sobbing, the boy pleaded, "Would you please help me get him back in the wheelchair? He's hurt, and he's too heavy for me to move." So the young executive moved, tried desperately to swallow that lump that was forming there. And he strained and he helped the young man back into the wheelchair and took out his handkerchief and wiped the scrapes and cuts, checking to see that everything else was okay. Then he walked with them to make sure the younger brother was able to get home all right. So he took the long walk back to his sleek new car, and he didn't fix the side door. He kept the dent in the door. It reminded him not to go through life so fast and not remember what to do, you know, how to live life and remembering those things. So we remember a lot of things in life, and hopefully remember that today a lot of people gave their life to get us where we are today. From the revolutionary days, people who were wealthy lost everything because of fighting in the war. They didn't make friends being revolutionaries then. And ever since then, men and women have sacrificed so that we can have the country that we have today. And we're free because of them. And again, freedom is not free. And we owe a lot to all those. But we also owe a remembrance to Christ, first and foremost. Because without Him, we don't have salvation. Without Him, we don't have the freedom from sin. So we need to remember all of that, and including all those good Christians that have passed on, who have led the way and been the pathfinder for our lives that inspired us to do our best. I don't know what your condition is this morning, but if you have need of the church, why don't you come as we stand and sing.